All right. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I'm not used to holding a microphone.
You want to hold it?
Okay. Thank you.
And if you want, you can always raise this.
I have a tendency of dropping the microphone when I speak, and then my wife's in the crowd like, pick it up. So I'm excited to be here with you today and bring you today's message. What brought us here? I met Pastor, your pastor, Pastor Ben, a little bit ago. And he has been very inspirational for us in our lives. And so we're just thankful that God set it up that we have met him. This is my beautiful Puerto Rican wife. Her name is... we celebrated 17 years of marriage last month. Thank you. And we have four children. We have Khalif, our oldest. He's 22 years old. He just graduated college a couple months ago. We have, I know, like one out the door. Yes, we're getting there. We have Cameron, our 15-year-old. I won't make her stand. I'm already getting the evil eye. And then we have two boys, Silas and Jake, that just left out the door, and they are 11 and 9 years old. And that's our family. We've been in Maryland 15 months now, actually. We are from Lancaster, PA. Yeah?
Hey, your cousin.
All right. Yes. Well, I was going to tell everybody I was Amish, but now you know the truth, I'm not Amish. I did, yes, I did. So we left Lancaster, PA 15 months ago to plant a church. So that's normally what we tell people. They're like, why did you come to Baltimore when we're trying to get out? And so, yes, we came here to plant a church. But I want to tell you how that came about. And so I had a dream about 2015. It was 2015, I had this dream. And I'm in this kayak, the streets was just flooded with water, and I'm just going along. And then I start to descend down this street. And as I go down the street, there's this overpass over top of me, and as I go under, I'm looking, and it says Route 40 and Route 95. And I was like, that's interesting, you know. But I never really looked into that dream or anything, but I told my wife about it. And so the next couple of things that happened after that, I'm going to let my wife tell you what happened. So
he tells me this dream, and we just wrote it down, just kind of put it away, you know, when you have a dream like that, you don't really know what to do with. But the things that started to happen in the next couple of weeks were pretty strange, pretty supernatural, I would say. So it was October of 2015, we actually took the two youngest boys, we brought them here to Baltimore, to the harbor, to the aquarium. And as we were driving into the city, now we've been here before, but the boys had never been here before. It was their first time coming. And as we were driving into Baltimore, Silas, the 11-year-old, starts to get really excited. He's looking out the window and he's like, I love this city. We're going to live here. I love this city. Wow. And we just laughed. They were like, yeah, okay. And we were trying to tell him that there's more to Baltimore than the harbor. So we're like, but we're not, you know, there's more, and we're not going to move here. But he just said that he loved it, that he would live here someday. That was October of 2015. And again, you just kind of laugh at that, put it aside. The next month, we're in Lancaster at church. We go to church like we normally would on Sunday. Our pastor invites another pastor that he met on the East Coast. So all the way in California, he invites him to our church. And this pastor has a heart for Baltimore. And he's preaching at our church, talking about the need for churches in Baltimore, just the need for Jesus in Baltimore. And again, while he's preaching, I could hear Silas's voice in my head. I love this city. We're going to live here. And in my seat, I said, absolutely not, Lord. I don't know what's going on. I don't know why I'm hearing Silas's voice, but no, you know. So I'm sitting there. Again, this is just in the middle of the service. We leave, and in the car, Mike goes, hey, think about that. Isn't that funny how Silas said that last time? And, you know, here this pastor is, our pastor just met. He said, what do you think about that? I said, I'm not thinking about it, and we're not moving to Baltimore. And I was just immediately shutting any door of possibility. So he said, I think we should at least pray about it.
And she prays about everything.
Yeah.
And I was saying, ain't want to pray.
I said, no, we're not praying about it because we're not going, and that's the end of that. And he just kind of gave me this look, like, really, you're not going to pray. So I said a prayer. And I was like, Lord, if this is you, you're going to have to speak a lot louder because I'm not, yeah, I don't think this is you. So that was kind of the prayer. It was kind of half-hearted, to be honest. That was November of 2015 when the pastor came. In December of 2015, we get an email from our pastor. And he is inviting us to his house for dinner. And I am immediately suspicious. I'm like, what is this about? And what's going on? He's like, I didn't call him. I don't know. And I said, if this is about Baltimore, I don't want to go. He said, you can call Pastor and tell him you don't want to go to his house. He goes, but I don't know what this is about. So we get to his house. It's us, two other couples. We sit around his dinner table. And he just matter-of-factly says, this is about Baltimore. And you're all here because you're black. That's what he said. And I said, I'm not black. Can I go home? Like, he's like, again, guilty by association. We're just saying, he's like, okay. And my pastor's Puerto Rican, so he just, you know, is ignoring me. Like, just calm down. And I was so annoyed. I'm sitting there like, what is going on here? And he's just talking about it. He's like, I have always had a heart for Baltimore. He said, we tried about, I would say 10 years ago, our pastor, they tried to plant a church here. And just the couple that was going to come out, morally something was wrong. It just kind of fell apart. We didn't know about that. That was something our church tried a long time ago. So he's telling the couples, the other two couples felt called in a different direction. They immediately said, this isn't for us. And Mike is asking way too many questions at dinner. Right? He's just like, and what about this? And what do you think about? And I'm like behind. Mike can see my face, but the pastor can't. I'm like, cut it. Like, let's go. It's time to go. So I was really not trying to hear this. We leave. Mike's like, I said, why did you ask so many questions? He's going to think we're interested. And he goes, we are interested. And now he's like, what do you do? Like, we are very divided in this. That's just kind of where we were. Mike invited me to a conference. It was January of 2016. He's trying to talk to me. I'm like, I'm not hearing it. 2016, he said, we should go to this conference. And I was like, nope, don't want to go. Because I figured like someone's going to jump out of a bush, behind a bush, and tell me that I have to go to Baltimore. I don't want to go. And so we go to this conference, and it was probably the second day of we were there. And I'm in our car after a couple of just sessions. I'm in the car crying. And I said, honey, God's calling us to Baltimore. And it was nothing that one particular person said, but it was everything that everyone was saying, and I just knew. So it was just God's timing. I just needed some time to process all of that. And I said, so we left this conference. It was actually a Global Awakening conference. And we went home, and on the way home, I said, I love Global Awakening. Yeah. We went home. And I said, Lord, I'm asking one thing. I have a million and one questions, but I'm asking one thing. If this is you, all four kids have to say yes. Because at this point, Cameron's in high school. The two little ones, they're fine. I think they'd adjust well. But we have two older ones. And I thought, if it's you, God, all four have to say yes. If you're calling us, you call them. You call the family. So we went home. And we lined them all up and we said, you know, we've been talking about Baltimore and, you know, we've kind of been joking. And I said, I wouldn't go. But I'm wondering, I feel like God is calling us there and will you go? And four yeses down the row, no hesitation. It was yes, 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 yes. And I was like, Cameron, even you? Like, really? Like, we could talk. Like, I was still thinking one of them are going to say no. That's my only deal breaker. If one says no, we put the brakes on this. But they all said yes, and I felt like once we said yes as a family, we were shot out of a cannon. Yeah. We were here so fast, and everything was happening so fast, and there's so many things I could tell you about the story, but I would say the Lord has provided financially so many things, confirmed in so many ways. But yeah, I would just say if he's calling you to do something, just trust him, and just ask for that confirmation, because he's so good. He'll give it to us.
Thank you, babe. And so, like, right after that, we're still sitting in the parking lot. And she's asking me, that dream you had, Route 40 and 95, where's that at? I'm like, I don't know. So I looked it up. It's in East Baltimore. Yeah, y'all know. It just blew my mind. Like, God was calling us to Baltimore. Why me? You know? I wanted to run away. God is just that good. That he would show us, you know, like, this is what he wants for our lives. And so I'm just like, thank you, Lord. Thank you for being there for us. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives. And so we left everything. We sold our house. We had good jobs, and we left it all. Comfort, friends, family, and left for God, for the gospel. And so right before we moved down here, we found out there was a couple of names that we had. And so we met with a man named Matt Stevens at Life Source for a night of prayer. So as we go there, it was more than just prayer and worship night. I mean, it was like a service that went on a Monday night, and it was packed. I'm like, wow, like, this is amazing. And so we do that. So we're there, and then it was Matt Stevens and his wife Katie. It was Jay Baylor, and then Ben, and they came around us and they prayed for us. And they welcomed us to the city. I mean, this is before we even got here. We're just trying to check out what's going on. And we're like, we're leaving there so encouraged, so blessed. Like, Lord, like, we don't know anybody in Baltimore, but you've already established some relationships, you know, for us. And so we just left there so excited, that Ben and everyone would just surround us and pray for us. And so when we did move down here, Pastor Ben invited, you know, my family over to his house. We had some good food, and he cooked some sausages, and then he took us to this place called the Creamery. Yeah, y'all got something good going on. we were just, I think he was just trying to make sure we didn't leave Baltimore. and so he gave us a piece of advice. We were asking him, you know, a bunch of questions. He says to us, establish relationships even when you don't think you need to. And so we held on to that. Like, that's something we held on to. It's a truth that we've held on to. And so that's how we met Pastor Ben, just praying over us and everything. And so I was prepared today to bring you a message that I actually preached at the Village Church last week. I'm going to cheat, you know. But right after the service, right after there, I'm at the house, and I get a revelation of a story from the Bible, and it was just a piece of it that I kind of like overlooked, and God showed me something. And so now I'm like, well, yeah, that sounds like something I can just post on Facebook, look kind of like really good, you know, Christian-like, you know, but it was like, no, it wasn't for that. So I'm like, you're not telling me to preach this word, Lord, are you? And so for a couple of days, I'm like struggling with, you know, what he showed me. Because it was something that was very revelatory to me. It's not an original thought. You know, I'm pretty sure somebody preached this message before. But what I want to bring to you comes right out of the book of Daniel, chapter 3, about the fiery furnace. And so the story is, King Nebuchadnezzar, he's the king of Babylon, but I want to call him King Neb for short, Nebuchadnezzar, you know, we're going to flow with Neb. It says he laid siege to Jerusalem, and he ordered that the men from the royal families, those of nobility, be taken and taught the Babylonian language and the literature, so that they would eventually serve in the king's palace. And the names of these men were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. But the king didn't like their names, so he changed them to Belshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So one day, King Neb decides he wants this gold statue built up. This thing he's going to worship, and he's just going to worship this statue. It was made out of gold. It stood 90 feet high, 9 feet wide, and everybody was going to bow down and worship this statue when he orders the band to start playing the music. And so the music's going, and he's like, if you don't bow down to this statue that I've made, you're going to be thrown into this super hot tanning booth, a fiery furnace. And so they all bow down to this statue except Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so now King Neb is hot. He's like, what? So he calls them in front of him. He's like, they told me that you didn't want to bow down, so I'm going to give you a second chance. All right, I'm going to have my boys are going to play. You need to bow or you're going to be thrown in the fire. And so he gives them the second chance. And so Daniel 3, chapter 13 through 18, I want to read this to you. It says, then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So he brought these men before the king. They brought them before the king, King Nebuchadnezzar, and he spoke to them, saying, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you're ready at this time, you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, and the psaltery, and symphony with all kinds of music, and if you fall down and worship the image that I have made, we're good. But if you don't worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fires. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image in which you have set up. That was bold. King Neb was so angry, he had the furnace turned up 7 times hotter, and he had his strongest men tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and had them thrown into the fire, into the furnace. And now, these men that threw them in there, they actually died, throwing them into the furnace. Now, King Neb is sitting there watching, and he notices that there's 4 men in this furnace. And they're untied, and they're walking around. He says, didn't we throw 3 guys in there? Why do I see 4? And why does the 4th one look like a son of the gods? So he calls out, and he's like, come out of the fire. And they come out. And Neb is, he is like praising God all of a sudden. Like, these guys, they weren't burnt. Not an article of clothing. Not a hair on their bodies was singed. These men didn't even smell like smoke. So he's praising God like, wow. Like, praise the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And if anybody talks bad about their God, I'm going to kill you. I mean, that was like a radical conversion. Now, I had struggled with this passage. Because I'm like, Lord, like, I've never faced persecution or anything like that before. Why would you want me to bring this message to you? I mean, even this morning, I'm like, Lord, I still can go back to that other message I preached. And he says, this is not about you. I want to bring you this message. Last week, as this story comes to mind, God's Holy Spirit speaks to me and says, the reason these men did not burn up is because they had a greater fire in them. I had to sit there and think about this, and I'm like, they had a greater fire in them. So the fire that these men were exposed to had no effect on them. They possessed a greater fire than the external fire that they were exposed to. There was a passion for Christ that these men tapped into that changed everything. These men knew God. They knew about him, but they knew him. I'm talking about real intimacy, closing, like their hearts were open to the Lord. They didn't have this wall built up they were hiding behind because of past hurts of their relationships or any wounds or anything like that. Like, no, everything was open. They knew God, and he knew them. I'm talking about, if I unbutton my shirt, like, intimacy. You know, like, come in and look to see what's inside. It's like that type of marriage. Type of knowing. When you get to see all the flaws and all. Now, I had an experience with God at a conference before, which was very significant. God had revealed himself as a father to me at this conference. So the speaker is, you know, he's talking to the couples there. And he's having us face each other, husband and wife. He says, I want you to confess to one another an area in life where you find it hard to relate to God. And then after you can make this confession, say the opposite statement 3 times to one another, and then enter into worship. I'm like, all right. So Jen and I are facing each other, and she's telling me how, you know, what area of life she finds it difficult to relate to God. And for me, I found it hard to relate to God as a father. So I'm telling her, God is my father. God is my father. God is my father. And then we turn around and enter into worship. And then as I turn, I'm just hit with this wave where I'm bawling all of a sudden. I'm crying. Face was wet, not sweating though. It was leaking and all kinds of stuff. For the entire time of worship, I'm there shaking and crying. I couldn't even stand up and enter into worship. God had came into agreement with what I had said. That yes, I am your father. Yes, I'm your father. Yes, I'm your father. It's like what he did with Peter when Peter denied him. And he says, will you feed my sheep? He was restoring him. So God was giving me exactly what I needed to strengthen me and what I needed for my life, what he called me to. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had a deep-rooted relationship with God that changed the way that they even perceived themselves. And it gave them the courage that they needed to even stand up to the king and said, we don't even have to answer you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Our God's going to save us. And if he doesn't, we're still not going to bow down and worship your gods. That's what that relationship does. It gives you the boldness and the courage to face anything that you go through and get you through the storm. This is why the Christian faith cannot be about religion. It has to be about a relationship with Christ. It has to be. Nothing else will do. Nothing else outside of our close relationships is worth dying for. Not money, not overtime at work. No drug, not fame, not fortune. These men knew that they were accepted as sons, and that gave them the courage. And they knew that as they were loved by God, God protects his own. He protects them. And so since these men knew the true and living God, they knew not to bow down to any false god, anything that man has made with their hands. These men tapped into an unshakable truth. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That fire that they had was greater than anything outside of this world. Because of this revelation, these men had a boldness and a confidence that we need today. I believe that the time is now that we start living outside of our comfort. That we live out our faith more boldly, more aggressively for the sake of the gospel. I have on this card here some words from a pastor from Zimbabwe who was martyred. But these words are powerful. I read these words often. It says, the die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of his. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. And my future is secure. I'm finished with low living, sight walking, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame divisions, worldly talking, cheap giving, and dwarf goals. I no longer need preeminence, position, plaudits, or popularity. I don't have to be right, first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith, depend on his presence, walk by patience. I am uplifted by prayer and labor with love and power. I read that when I need a little. He gave it all. But the passion that he had no fear. Nothing was going to stop what God was going to do in his life. I believe that God was showing me in this story that we need to strengthen the cord that binds us to Christ now. We don't wait for trouble to come. We do it now. Our relationship with Christ brings out the boldness to face fear and doubt. Our obedience brings out the power of God in us. And his response to us grows our faith. And in our 10th year of marriage, I felt God was calling me to be a pastor. Now, Janet knew it the year we got married. It's the first year. She's like, oh my God. I don't know what I was doing. But she said, oh my God, you're going to be a pastor. And then she started calling me like, Pastor Mike, Pastor Mike. I'm like, I forbid you from saying that. I'm not going to be a pastor. It's not going to happen. I wasn't pursuing God that way at that time, but she saw something that I didn't. And so 10 years, you know, in our 10th year, I have this dream of this pastor giving me a certificate. He's saying, you did it. You did it. You're a pastor now. Now, this pastor I knew as a counselor at the Boys Club. I'm currently with my pastor at my church doing some discipleship. So I tell my pastor about it. He says, I know that guy. He says, we bowl together. I'll give him a call and set it up. You need to go to his church and become a pastor. Wow. So I'm like, all right, you know. So, and that's what we did. He called him up. We met, and my family uprooted from that church into another church to eventually be sent out. That experience opened us up to take other steps of faith. It was one that strengthened our relationship with God, and it grew our faith. Like, we don't know what he's going to do, but we trust him, and we go, and we do. He opens up doors. And he's done it many times over as we continue to cross that line. It's like, ooh, getting out of that boat, you know. And, but he shows up. He's there. To strengthen my bond with Christ, I regularly am reading, praying, worshiping, and fasting. It's part of my rhythm with God. It's a rhythm. I do this so that I don't eventually drift away from him. If I'm not intentional, I will drift away. I do that to stay close to him. And it's important that I do that because Satan will do whatever he can to attack us and break that bond. He will do anything to weaken it or break it so that we're not connected to the true source. He attacks the truths that we believe. He attacks our perception of ourselves so that we're not content with who God had made us to be. He attacks our reality. He just flat out lies to us. Back in Daniel, verse 15 of that chapter 3, Neb says something. He says, and who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? He's attacking the truth. He's attacking the truths that we believe that we hold on to. He's all about confusion. He's all about chaos. Now, if you're familiar with algebra, if you take a negative times a negative, you get a positive, right? Satan will not attack a lie that you're already believing. For him to attack a lie, he's proven that it's true. He's only going to go after the truth that you know. So be encouraged that what you might be struggling with is actually him just trying to cause confusion and chaos within you. He's just attacking something, a truth that is in you. So be encouraged because when you hold on to these truths, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. He knew you before you were born. You are loved and accepted by God. You are beautifully and wonderfully made by God. You were created to do good works before this world was ever created. If you hold on to these truths, you hold on to weapons that we use to fight against the enemy. Those are weapons in your hands to defeat him. Amen? I used to believe that my dad abandoned me and my brothers because he just wasn't around. Truth be told, he left us to discover God. Now, my brothers are still, they know about God, but I'm the one that really pursued to know God. And so we still pray for my brothers that they get to know him. But growing up without my dad, the street life became what I clung to. It's where I got my identity at. The selling drugs and the crime and driving stolen cars, shooting guns. That became my infatuation. That is what I had became an idol in my life. But God never intended for us to know him through idols. Anything that we've built with our hands, anything that we glorify, he has not called us to know him that way. The second of the Ten Commandments is don't make any idols. Don't worship them. The only image that was made to reflect him is us. You are his image. We are to look within, draw near, and commune with the spirit that he's put in us. An idol is something that man makes. And so if we were called God, what man has made, then we're reducing God, in my eyes, in my opinion, to a speck of dirt. If we can reduce God to whatever we feel like, then what's stopping us from putting ourselves above him? He's either Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all. He is Lord of all. In the beginning, God, he breathed into man. His breath gave us life. We were meant to look within and discover him. I work in the field of corrosion control. And like, what is that? It's the same thing I said when I applied for it. We put metal, we protect metal that goes into the ground. So gas pipe, water pipes, we protect it. So our first line of defense is to put coating on that pipe. That's our first line of defense. But it's not 100% effective. So we use a secondary form of protection called cathodic protection. And so what we do is we attach a more active metal than steel to this pipe. So we have your pipe, the steel pipe, and a magnesium pipe. And we connect them together underground. That other magnesium piece of metal will corrode faster and will corrode in place of that steel pipe. We call it a sacrificial anode, this little piece of metal. And it only works if you connect the two. You put them side by side, nothing happens. When you connect the steel and the magnesium, the magnesium corrodes. It's a perfect picture of what Christ done for us, has done for us on the cross. He took our sins. He took it. We are preserved. Amen? There's another part of the process that's happening at the same time. There is a hydrogen film that is formed around the pipe. And it creates a shield, like a barrier between the pipe and the earth. And you can't see it, but it's there. And I feel like Holy Spirit comes around us and places a barrier around us from the attacks of the enemy. We still experience hard times. Like, I'm not saying that life gets easier, but it becomes more meaningful. And when we're connected to him, it's more powerful. Amen. Reverend Ben, Pastor Ben, I call him Rev sometimes. He told us the most important relationship is the one, you know, like, to establish those relationships even when we don't think we need to. And the most important one, of course, is with Christ, to establish that. So I'm thinking about relationships, and I think of Moses and a relationship that he had with God. Moses would meet with God up on a mountain, and he would come down, and he had to put a veil over his face when he talked to the people because his face was so bright. Like, the glory of God made his face shine so bright. They were like, Moses, we really can't even see you right now. So put a veil on. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were in that fire, Neb saw them in the midst of the fire. What he saw was their passion for Christ within them, just lighting up in the midst of the fire. And he saw the passion for he saw their passion right beside them. So he saw the passion within them and the passion that they had right beside them. And I was, and again, just in the midst of that fire, and he saw that. Matthew 5:14 says that you are the light of the world. A city that is on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they put a lamp over top of it, but they put it on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. This light. I believe God wanted me to share this with you because he's already been using you in a great way. But I believe that he's planning to use you more powerfully, more influence. There's going to be a transition. He's going to shift you into something else, something more. And you're going to need to press into him, rely on him a little bit more. I think you're going to be exposed to a little bit of fire. but he is going to be with you. The light that's emanating from you, the world's going to see. They're going to see and be drawn to you. They're going to be attracted to him because of you. There's going to be resistance, opposition to what he's calling you to. But if you pray together, worship together, and as a whole, fast together, you're going to be more than ready and equipped to walk through whatever trials and come out strong on the other side. God wants to promote you. He's doing something. I believe that with all my heart. The story that he gave is one of hope. So there is no fire, no storm that God cannot see you through. God is jealous for you. He desires you. He wants you to know him the way he knows you. So I love the songs that you picked out for worship. I believe I was reading those lyrics and singing. I'm like, so much of that, you know, he loves us. Oh, he's jealous for us. He's kissing us. Jesus said that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to him but through him. Go come to the Father except through him. Our strength, our hope, our future is in God. The moment we look to our own gifts, our talents and abilities, we reject him. But when we turn and look and recognize the Holy Spirit within us, the truth that is in us, we discover who we are meant to be. We discover that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So when we look inside, we look and we commune with Holy Spirit, he gives us the boldness and the courage we need. He gives us the strength that we need. And then we get to release the lion that's within us. We get to release and we enter into like beast mode. But I want to pray for you. And I'm not sure if this is your regular crowd, so I want to extend an invitation to know Christ. If there's anyone here that doesn't know Christ, I would like to pray with you. My wife and I, we want to hang out here a little bit afterwards and pray for you if you don't know Christ, or just pray with you for whatever, anything that you're going through. We want to make ourselves available to you. But I want to pray this prayer over you that comes out of Ephesians chapter 1. And it's Paul speaking to this Ephesian church that was started. But I have something for you to do before I pray. Can you cuff your hands out as if you're going to receive something? Because I want to pour this out over you. Just want to pour it out over you. Father, I just thank you for what you want to do here, for what you are doing. You are the same yesterday, today, forever. And I know, Lord, that you want to pour out here, now. That you want to do something great and mighty here, now. I thank you, Lord, and I pray over this congregation, over Pastor Ben, asking you, God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he has called, which is you. His holy people, who are his rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand and in the heavenly realms. The Lord bless you. The Lord reveal himself to you, give you his peace, his grace. And so let your light shine before men that they may glorify God in heaven. Amen. Amen. My wife wants to speak to you.
As Mike was preaching, there was a section he was talking about the enemy and how people can attack the mind. And right when he said that, I just had this thought that I felt like the people in this room, there's a presence of God here that's really sweet.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like, okay, if Satan can't take you to hell, which he can't, because you're already saved by grace, you already accepted the Lord. If he can't take you to hell, He's going to try to steal your joy, and he's going to try to distract you. So you have to remember that if he can't take you to hell, which he can't, he's going to really try to just cause a lot of disruptions and distractions to keep you from where you're supposed to be. Because he can keep us pretty ineffective. I felt like for years, yes, we were saved and we loved Jesus, but we weren't doing what we were supposed to be doing. And I just felt like that was a word here for this group. Like, praise God, you're not where you used to be, but you still don't feel like where you're supposed to be. You feel like there's something blocking. There's so many distractions. There's so many disruptions. So I just felt like if that was you, please come up. We'll pray at the end. But I just wanted to pray real quick just over if someone had to run out quick and didn't have time to pray, but just wanted to pray for you guys. So in the name of Jesus, I bind every demonic disruption, distraction, or delay right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I just rip it off of them right now. Lord, I just thank you that everyone here, every man, woman, boy, girl, will fulfill the call that you have placed on their lives. Lord, I pray that you would give them eyes that see and ears that hear. I pray, Lord, for visions and dreams right now to be released in the name of Jesus. Lord, that they would know exactly what you're calling them to do. And again, we just bind any and all demonic attacks. And I plead the blood of Jesus over you guys. I plead the blood of Jesus over this church and over Ben and over Rebecca, over the kids. Father, we just bless them in the name of Jesus that this church will truly be a city on a hill and be all that you've called it to be here in Hamden. In Jesus' name, amen.